Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, a day that we can celebrate. Lord, help us to see the joy of Christmas, to see Christ, to see how Christ makes Christmas, and to celebrate him. Amen. Luke chapter 2. So growing up, for me, Christmas was a magical time. I appreciate that's not necessarily the case for everyone, but certainly in school, that anticipation, that build-up that you had over that Christmas period, it would start, always seemed to start around about half term. I don't know what we used to do when I was at school. I think we just stopped doing work after half term, preparing for the Christmas play, and then you had the Christmas carols, you had your Christmas disco, you were having the Christmas fair. It was the last day of term when you got to come in your own clothes and you could bring a toy or a game in. Now, back in the day, kids, where games were something that you didn't play on an iPad, there were these board things that used to bring in. It was great, this sense of anticipation, excitement. Christmas was coming. And then even at home, the Christmas decorations would be going up, the tree would be going up. Walking into the spare bedroom at my nan's and seeing the Christmas cakes all laid out. She was icing them. There was an excitement, there was an anticipation, there's a magic about Christmas. And as an adult, there's part of me that tries to still recapture that, to get the kids to experience what I've experienced. Now, it never seems to quite live up to those memories. But this year, Christmas is different. And perhaps as you look at Christmas this year, you experience it with a sense of sadness. Now, remembering those Christmases past, remembering those magical moments, and perhaps that frustration, that sadness that you can't recreate those moments this year. And yet on that first Christmas, treasured memories were also held with a sense of sadness. Now, the Jewish nation treasured the memories of the freedom that God had given them as he led them out of slavery from Egypt, as he brought them into the promised land. It was a story that they retold every year. And yet, those treasured memories now were held with a sense of sadness because what they experienced was not freedom, but oppression. An oppression not from a global pandemic, but from a ruthless global empire. And we see that in verse 1 of our reading. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this census, this was Rome exerting its power. It was a way that they were going to be able to tax people that they had brought under their rule. This was a global event that was this vivid reminder for everyone, and especially of the Jewish people, that they were not living in freedom, that they were experiencing oppression. It was a vivid reminder of the hardships of life, much like this year has been for us. And yet at that very moment, in those days when Caesar Augustus issued that decree, in that very moment, the power of God is about to be revealed and good news is going to be proclaimed that brings joy to all people. 2020 isn't too different from that first Christmas. And so in accordance with the Jewish cultural tradition, the Jewish people, they go to their hometown to register. So Joseph and Mary, to place to be married to him, they travel down to Bethlehem. Verse 6, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Now, a lot of the images that we tend to have in our mind about Christmas, about nativities, they're probably wrong. See, Joseph isn't running around knocking on doors of inns, seeing if there's any spare room because his wife's about to have a baby. Now, the word that has often been translated in, we see here in the NIV, is guest room. And in a first century Palestinian house, what you would often have is a guest room, a space where guests could stay, a separate room. And then the rest of the house was this open plan type design. You'd have animals on a slightly lower level, and everything else was happening in the rest of the space. The family would live there. They'd cook there. It was a busy, chaotic space. And remember, Joseph is heading to his ancestral home. Chances are he's probably got some relatives there in Bethlehem that he could possibly stay with. And if not, first century hospitality means that someone's going to let him into his house. But they come to the house and there's no space in the guest room because it's already taken up. There are guests there. And so when Jesus is born, he's likely in the main part of the house. Now, the busyness where all the stuff is going on with the rest of the family. Now, why are you telling us this, Paul? Why do preachers always seem to get a kick at Christmas time of saying, what you thought you knew is not like that? You know that carol you've been singing? Nah, that's wrong. This kind of some sort of intellectual game that you're playing. Why is this important? Hasn't Christmas been ruined already without you messing up the magic of Christmas, these images that we have, Jesus there out in the stable? But the point is, Jesus is not out there. He's not out there in the stable. He's not out in the peace and tranquility of our imagined stables. He's right there in the midst of the chaos and the busyness and the mess of a family house that is under the oppression of a global empire. And that is where Jesus is found. Christmas isn't found in those magical moments. That's not how Jesus comes to us. Jesus comes to us in the mess and the chaos and the busyness of everyday life in a broken world. And it is into that place of brokenness that the message that causes great joy is revealed. And so in verse 8, the shepherds are living out in the fields. The angel of the Lord, he appears to them. The glory of the Lord shines around. The shepherds are terrified. And the angel says to them, do not be afraid, verse 10. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. So what is this good news that's going to bring great joy? Verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this message of joy causes this great shout of joy in the heavenlies. As though the heavens are open, they're peeled back, and these heavenly beings are seen, and they're proclaiming this great praise to God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. The message of the angels is praise God for what he has done in Jesus. Through Jesus, peace is coming to the earth. Now, some of you may well know what I'm about to say next if you've heard me talk about peace before. Peace in the Bible, it is not describing a tranquil feeling. Peace is not merely the absence of conflict. The Bible's definition of peace is much deeper. It is much richer. In the Bible, when it speaks of peace, peace refers to wholeness, to completeness. And so in this instance, peace is about restoration. If you will, biblical peace is about piecing back together that which has been broken. Peace is piecing back together that which has been broken. And the world that we live in is broken. We in this world are broken. And we've been reminded of that this year in 2020. We've been reminded of the brokenness of the world as we've seen this virus spread across the entire globe. We've been reminded of our own brokenness. Although we have seen some great acts of selflessness, we've also seen a lot of selfishness, which has furthered the spread of this pandemic. We have been reminded this year of the brokenness of the world, the brokenness of people. And we know the Bible teaches the reason that we live in a broken world, the reason that we are broken, is because we turned from the giver and the sustainer of life. And embracing the lie that God was against us, we rebelled in the name of freedom only to become enslaved to corruption and death. And yet on that first Christmas, this message is given, this message of good news that will cause great joy. Verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. It's good news that a Savior has been given because we cannot fix ourselves. We need a Savior. Broken people cannot fix their own brokenness, let alone the brokenness in the world. What we need is a Savior. And today, on that first Christmas, a Savior has been given. One who will bring peace. Who will bring restoration. Who will piece back together that which was broken. Who will bring this wholeness. Who will bring this completeness. He will free us from our rebellion against God and will free us from our corruption to sin and to death. And we have a longing in our hearts for that peace, for that wholeness. It's what drives us to seek those magical moments. We long for wholeness. We long for peace. Yet we can't find it in those magical moments. It doesn't come to us in those magical moments. It comes to us in the most miraculous moments in human history. That God himself becomes one of us to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. As the angel said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. And so the shepherds go. They go to see this sign, the sign that the angel gives. The sign of a baby in a manger. God meeting us in the midst, the mess of our life. And the result of the angels seeing this is this great joy and a harmony between heaven and earth. We see a glimpse of this peace and this wholeness. Just notice how the actions of the shepherds in verses 17 and verses 20. So in 17, they spread the news. Verse 20, they glorify God. Notice how that mirrors the work of the heavenly beings. Gabriel gives this message. The angels appear praising God. We see this harmony between heaven and earth. It is a picture of this peace, this restoration, this wholeness that Jesus brings, not only to our lives, but to the whole of creation. And that peace, that wholeness, which something deep inside us longs and yearns for, is found in Christ. It's not found in creating those magical moments. The joy is not found in creating those magical moments as we saw with the children's talk. It's found in Christ. And Jesus Christ, he isn't found in the tranquility and peace of our imagined stables. He's found in the busyness and the mess and the chaos of our world. That's where Jesus meets us. And that's where we meet him. Now, this year in 2020, Christmas may look slightly different to us, but actually, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in 2020 because everything changed on that first Christmas. And this Christmas, you may not be able to create those magical moments that you hope for, but you can still experience the most miraculous of moments that your heart truly longs for. Today, I bring you good news. A Savior has been born, and he is Christ Jesus, the Lord. Let's thank him now. Father, we thank you that whatever happens, whatever we experience in this life, Lord, it doesn't cancel Christmas. It doesn't cancel your great salvation. Although we may have trouble in this world, we praise you that Jesus Christ has overcome the world. But in order that we may have peace, that we may have wholeness. Lord, and we are given a joy that cannot be taken away. Lord, as things have been stripped away this year, even this Christmas, Lord, may it cause us to fix our eyes on Christ and to see that joy that will never be taken away. Lord, because in him is peace, it is wholeness, is restoration. Lord, may we celebrate Christmas today afresh like never before. Lord, with a new, renewed vision of your great love for us and the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. Amen.